This episode of OutlanderCast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. If you head on over to MinuteWithMary.com/discount, you're going to get yourself the very best mascara to catch all those itty-bitty lashes and make them look nice and full and let them be seen, even if you're wearing a mask. Let your eyes shine, my friends. MinuteWithMary.com/discount to get 15% off my favorite mascara. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm happy to tell all of you that you will never find me nude on a stage. Never, not once. Never, not once. Won't do it.
Nope.
I have a hot enough time being nude at all. I feel like I'm Tobias in Arrested Development. I'm a never nude.
I forgot about that.
I know. He wears his little jean shorts underneath everything.
Yep.
I'm a never nude.
Well, before we get into the rest of this show, in which, you know, they do talk about a lot of nudity in this chapter. Mm-hmm. By the way, Graham McTavish, poor thing.
What?
Really wanted to get naked.
Really wanted to get naked.
I hope he gets naked on this show. I hope he gets naked in Men and Kills.
I doubt that he's getting naked on this show.
Well, I hope so. I hope that they find a lock and he says, you know what? Screw it.
We're going in.
So we want to make sure that you check us out. Make sure you like us and subscribe on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We do want to remind you that jointhenerdclan.com is your one-stop shop to support all things Mary and Blake. If you enjoy this podcast, if you're happy that we are covering Clan Lands and gearing up for Men in Kilts, if you cannot wait for those weekly episodes, not only of the show, but of the podcast every Monday night, guess what? Head on over to jointhenerdclan.com for as little as $2 a month. You could show us your appreciation and keep these podcasts going. All right, now let's get into the show. Like, this chapter is titled one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yes.
The Circle of Life, Chapter 8.
Nerd!
When was the last time you washed your face in the dew? When was the last time you had a skinny dip in a Highland burn? When was the last time you lay on a hillside and watched the stars revolving above? Take a moment to ask yourself the same questions.
When was the last time you did any of those things, Mary?
I've laid on a hillside and watched the stars. I don't think I could collect enough dew to wash my face.
Probably
unless
not.
I like rubbed my face on grass. Like, how do you do that?
I have no idea.
Unless you're a fairy-sized pixie from Fern Gully, I just don't expect that I could find enough dew to do that. And last time you had a skinny dip in a Highland burn, never been skinny dipping in a Highland burn.
Never on a Highland burn.
There you go.
And I don't think I've ever... No, I've been skinny dipping, I think.
I don't, like, love it.
Even though I'm a never nude.
Yeah. I don't love skinny dipping. I am very anxious about the coming out of the water. Who's going to be there? I think Mulan scarred me, you know?
Yeah. I think the thing with me is someone's going to take my clothes. Someone's going to take my clothes.
No one would take your clothes, Blake.
No one wants to see me.
No, I'm just saying you don't have like exquisite
clothing.
No.
No, I would agree. I would agree. You know, one of the things that we had to watch out for when I was in college is...
Clothes stealers?
No, towel stealers.
Who would come into your room?
No. So what would happen is you'd go in like, you know, your freshman, sophomore year of college, you had to share a bathroom, right?
Yeah.
So, you know... My best friend John, I know he's not listening right now, but my best friend John, listen, I joke about being a never nude. I'm not a never nude. But I joke about that. He is the opposite of a never nude. He was the kid that was just constantly naked all the time. And when I tell you he was 6'7", all of 300 pounds, he was 6'7", all of 300 pounds. And he'd just walk around the dorm, just freewheeling, man, just letting it loose. And what he would do is when you would go take a shower, you have to hang up your towel next to the shower stall.
Oh, on the outside?
On the outside.
Okay, yeah.
And then he'd come in and he'd sneak in or whatever. And if he didn't have a tub of like searing cold water or whatever, or dropping beers on your head, he'd take your towel so that you'd have to walk
naked
throughout the whole dorm to get back to your room. So you'd always be feeling for your towel to make sure it wasn't taken. And I've been caught many a time with no towel.
Poor thing.
Poor thing. I don't know how I got onto that story. How did I get onto that story?
By going skinny dipping in a Highland Burn.
Yeah. So I get worried. I get worried about people taking my clothes. But just hiding them on you? You're just going to have to get out of wherever you are and just be like, okay, screw it. I'm here. Let's go.
This is
what,
me.
What am I going to? Yeah, this is me.
now you know. Well, oh my goodness gracious, love you.
Oh, man.
Well, our GBGs for this chapter 8, are good, our bads, and our great. My good, yay! I'm not bored.
All right,
I'm back at it, man. That was a tough one, the previous one for me, but this one I'm just back in it. I'm laughing. I am daydreaming even more so about when quarantine and pandemic is done, and I can finally go to Scotland.
Yeah, like what it makes you not bored about this chapter? I guess you know, because I listened to it. I think on the way to on the way to work, and I was just driving, and I think I was in that driving haze. You know what I mean?
It was just very descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last one was very historical and then all about the Shakespeare stuff. And I don't know, this one, I just felt like I was there. I don't want to hear about Shakespeare. I want to be in Scotland. I want to be, you know, with the stones, and I want to be hearing about how they pretend cycling. But, you know, this is why I'm here. I'm here for also their fun little stories, but I don't know. This one just did it, and this one had a lot of Scotland love.
Sure.
And
sure.
Scotland lore. You know, we got... Let's be real. Part of the thing that hooks you in Outlander is the magic, which isn't talked about frequently enough, which isn't necessarily a huge part of the ongoing show. I mean, it pops up from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's not the everyday kind of thing. And yet the whole reason Claire gets transported back in time is because of Standing Stones.
Yeah.
So to be spending time with Standing Stones, to be spending time talking about the witches and the pagans and stuff, you know, it just, you just hear the druids, the dance of the druids in your mind, and you're picturing it, and you're there with Claire picking up the flowers. Like, just the Outlander magic was in this chapter.
Yeah, that first season of Outlander had the real Outlander magic. I don't know how else to describe it other than what you just said, Mary. Just that the druids and the stones
and that
the,
was this
the
chapter
blood
for
on, yeah,
me.
The blood on the door and
yep.
It's just Outlander magic.
Yeah.
And you notice too, in the chapters of this book, they reference Outlander and the...
They know who their target market is.
every chapter, there's an Outlander production reference in some sort of fashion.
That's why I'm here, man. Okay, so my bad is that being that I live in the Ocean State, mm-hmm. Rhode Island, it's the smallest state in the United States, mm-hmm. the elevation is literally ocean level, okay? The highest point in our state is actually our dump.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep, the dump in Johnston is the highest elevation in our entire state.
Wow.
Like piled up trash is higher than any hill in our state.
That's pretty funny.
Isn't that sad? We don't have any mountains.
No mountains.
We have hills, but none as big as our dump. So I feel very ill-equipped to be reading the parts of this chapter where that guy's like, oh yeah, I climbed them all many, many times. Like, what are we doing here? I went to Rocky Point National Park.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't breathe when I walked upstairs. The elevation is just crazy. So anyway, me thinking about I want to go to Scotland, and then realizing there's actual elevation that I'll have to trek makes me a little wary. Maybe I'll just stay to the low grounds. And then my great is the banter of these two friends. Mm-hmm. Back at it. Guess who's back? Back again. Mary's back into this chapter. Blake, what's your GBG?
You know, Mary, you said it about you know, the elevation and everything. And I just, I had no idea that our highest elevation was the town dump.
You're welcome.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. All right. For me, the good is, I freely admit I am Team Graham, and I like being in a hotel, and I like doing all the things that having five stars and, you know, all of that stuff. But I will freely also admit.
Oh, never mind. It's saying the highest natural point in the state is 812 feet in a hill, and that the highest man-made plot of land is our dump at over 550 feet.
Got it. Okay. All right. I have no idea when I washed my face with the summer dew or took a skinny dip or watched the stars above. I don't have any clue about when I've done that last. And there's a romantic notion about those things, I think. And the book, you know, I think it kind of romanticizes this connection with nature and all that other stuff. And
I'm
you
have all to in. This Taurus is all in.
Oh, I know you are. And when I heard Sam talking about how he was a Taurus in this episode,
I told you I'm much like Jamie in this sense.
I know. And how Graham's a Capricorn and the whole thing. It's romanticized a little bit and finding the whole thing with nature. And I thought of you, Mary, being like, I could see you with all of this stuff.
Huffing and puffing.
You just, let's go. Let's go find nature, man. Yes. Where are my healing crystals at? Like, let's do it. I will admit that I kind of got an odd connection to this as well, where I was thinking, man, if I go to Scotland, let's go skinny dipping in one of the lochs or whatever, you know? Like, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started daydreaming about going to Scotland. And then I started saying, like, okay, if I go to Scotland, what am I going to do? Because, like, in my mind, Scotland is Outlander.
You're going to have to feed a donkey.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to
go touch stones, and I'm going to have to, like, walk and, you know. Get moldy bread and get the moors and, you know, and just, like.
Have sex everywhere.
Have sex, like, on this nice, beautiful vista, you know, overlooking
just
the rest of Scotland.
Just watch out for those bison.
Yeah, you know, and I have to wear a kilt and get a sword, you know, and ride a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, no, man, you just go into the city, you get a car, and you just drive around and go to a shop and have some coffee. Like my vision of Scotland is very much different than the reality of Scotland. And I feel stupid saying that because I feel like I'm a normal human being.
Like, you would walk in and be like, oh, Mary, they have light switches.
Right. Oh my God, they have the internet. You know, I feel like that's me. All right. The bad for me, kind of along those lines. Graham saying that phones are bad. Nope, Graham, that's the first thing that you've done where I heartily disagree.
Oh.
Phones rule.
Yeah.
I love phones. You could run an entire business from your phone. We basically do.
Yeah.
And you can earn a whole life from a phone. If you really think about it, you could do it. I will also agree that, yes, there is a certain isolation to phones. There is a certain thing. Like, when I go out and I see people who, especially at dinner and families, if I see the mother and the father and, like, the daughter and the son all sitting at a table and they all have their heads hunched down and they're looking at their phones, I kind of wince a little bit. I'm like, oh, no, don't do that. You know, or like a gaggle of girls sitting around a table who are like 15 trying to do TikToks and losing all reality with the world, just dancing in the middle of the street, causing accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things are phones are bad.
Blake is so funny. What is it you say about TikTok? TikTok has ruined America.
TikTok has ruined America.
And I never realized it until Blake started to say this phrase a lot, because Blake has an eagle eye for TikTokers. Like, when you're just driving and they're like waiting outside like a Verizon store and they've propped it up on a window and they're just like dancing by themselves. And he's like, see, TikTok ruins America yet again. And they really are dancing everywhere. In Target.
It looks like they're having a stroke and they're not. They're dancing to TikTok.
Yes.
And you see people in Target all of a sudden just randomly
twitching their bodies
and moving, and like, what are you doing?
Yep.
You're at Target. Go get your Cocoa Puffs and check out, go home, and then do your TikTok. What are you doing that in Target for?
They're inspired, Blake.
It's ruining America.
And, you know, see, you're with Graham.
But my great is once again Graham. Graham's saying, yes. Sir Ginger of the Nuts. Genuinely funny.
Agreed.
Genuinely funny about how Sam is just constantly naked on the show. And he just rips into him, calling him Sir Ginger of the Nuts.
Oh, Blake, whatever you do, please, next time you interview Sam Heughan on a red carpet, can you please say, excuse me, Sir Ginger of the Nuts? Remember me? I'm the guy that said I was Team Frank.
just totally rip into him. I wonder what he would do. I wonder what he would say. He'd be like,
you read Clanlance.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, sure. Get it out. Come on.
No, he'd be proud of you for reading his book and contributing to his 401k.
I read that, man. I read that and I listened to it and I had to like stop. I stopped the thing. I just laughed because I thought that was genuinely funny.
Agreed.
Good stuff. Good
Agreed.
Stuff. So you're giving me the book.
Yeah, I want you to lead the charge in this one. We only have one physical book. Blake and I have to hand it back and forth during these podcast episodes. We both listen to the audiobook version. I also read the written book. But we get to hang on out. And what I love, I think my favorite thing right now about the book in anticipation of the television show Men in Kilts coming out this Sunday is like the bit where they're pretending to ride a bike.
Oh, yeah.
And they like videotape them. They record them getting on the bike and doing a little bit. And then they record them like just a little bit at the end. They rode like 50 feet, but it's going to look like they rode the entire way on the bike in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love how they're just open about this. Like, yeah, when you watch the show, we actually don't do what we say we're going to do. You know?
Yeah. You know, the whole thing with the cemeteries, here's a quick story from you. I love cemeteries. I think they're cool. Like, Graham is right. It's just this equalizer. Mm. Everybody that you know dies at some point, you know, one way or the other.
So crazy.
Yeah, like I.
Don't talk about it with our kid though, because she's gonna freak.
No,
she is.
She's already talked about it with us. There was this one time. She said, "Daddy, are you gonna die?" And I looked at her.
She's five.
She's five, and I said, "Yeah, honey, I'm gonna die." Well, when? I said, "Oh, not for a long time, sweetheart. Not for. We're gonna have a long time." And she said, "Is Mama gonna die?" I said, "Yeah, she's gonna die."
She probably should not have had this conversation with you.
And she said, "Yeah, because I'd like to tell the truth to my kids, except for Santa."
I tell the truth too.
That was sorry. I shouldn't say that on the podcast, should I? Anyway, I like to tell the truth to my kids for the most part because I want them to understand that yes, Mom will die, Dad will die, and you know other things that they ask. So she asks me, "Will Mom die?" I said, "Yeah, but you know." And she says, "When?" I said, "Not for a while. You know, Mom is not going to die." And then she had this. It was like this moment of it was like the lightning struck her, where her eyes opened, looked at me, and said, "Am I going to die?"
Oh no!
And I said, "Yes, honey, you're going to die one day." And she says, "I don't want to die." Anyway. I love cemeteries. I think they're cool. They're ways into history, how things were made, the stones, how things were dug, and names and dates, and how things were propped up. And it's just this little periscope into history in ways. But I also am uncomfortable in cemeteries because when I was growing up, one of my good friends, his brother was murdered in a cemetery.
Oh my gosh, Blake.
It's true. And so I was thinking about that as they're walking through these cemeteries and everything. They're talking about it and they're talking about the cairns and all that stuff. I was thinking, oh man, I would not want to go into those things because like what if some dude is just waiting behind a stone to stab me like my buddy's brother? Like, no way, man. All set. All set.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. It's just the truth.
Yeah. I like to, there's a couple of really pretty cemeteries. So, of course, living in New England, where Blake and I do, there's some really, really old cemeteries in this area of the country. I love, probably people in like Europe right now are laughing like, oh, really
old. Yeah, they're really old.
You're so cute. You're so cute. New England. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's new in the word, girlfriend. Get them. The facts straight. But yeah, just like you said, and you know, for them to even be talking about how they were able to get these stones erect and how they were, how just thinking about the pyramids. I mean, still think about it. We can't figure these things out.
Right. Right. Like the pyramids, the cairns, they don't know why these things
were
built.
It's like Oak Island on just a different scale.
Just a more massive public scale.
Yeah.
The tourism in Scotland has gone up, as they say, for Doune Castle, 227% since Outlander was created. And like, again, and I joked about my idea of Scotland and what it is in my brain as opposed to what it really is. And I wonder, Mary, would you want to go see all of these things like Doune Castle and the house that Gaelis lived in and all that stuff? Like, I kind of want to do that too.
Yeah, I want to have a bunch of experiences. I want to have like the Outlander experience and then the Scotland experience in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please. Sign me up.
And I find it, it's so funny that, as Sam says, Scotland has been slow to embrace the rise in tourism, you know, minus the pandemic probably, but they've been slow to embrace it, but they finally are starting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of me would want to go see Cumbernauld Studios just to go and check it out. It's this warehouse. And of course, you're not going to get in. You're just going to get there and say, oh, okay, well, that's the studio.
That's interesting,
Okay, let's go grab a pint, you know? Like, but I would kind of like to go and see that. I don't know. That'd be fun. But Sam talks about a great question in this chapter, which is, Mary, or anybody, if you had the chance to touch the stones and go back in history, where would you go? Where would you go? And keep in mind, you would go to this time, but you would still be nobody. You wouldn't like, it's not like, oh, I'd go back to the Revolutionary War so I could hang out with George Washington. No, you won't, because you're not going to go hang out with George Washington. You're just going to be walking around the streets doing nothing other than, hey, where am I? So keep that in mind.
I don't really know. I mean, I loved how Sam said he's got the best of both worlds being an actor and how he can like enjoy pretending to be in the future or in the past, but still have the luxuries of the here and now. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'd be leaving like anywhere before the 1900s.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with you.
Like, I want a toilet. I want heat.
I want AC.
Well, then you're definitely not even going far back.
Yeah, I'll go back to last week.
Yeah, I'm happy where I am. Right, I would go probably to like a year or two in the future when we don't have to deal with coronavirus.
That's true.
I'm so bitter.
Can you go to the future in the stones like that?
Claire went to the future.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Sorry. She did go. That's right. I forgot.
I got you.
Oh,
side note, guys. Blake, what? Hobbit, Ian, take a moment. We, Ian.
Oh, yeah, we were watching The Hobbit last night. The Battle of the Five Armies.
Which is the third of The Hobbit installation. Once again, we're just enjoying Graham's voice all day and night, whether it's audiobook or on The Hobbit.
So we noticed this in the last film, but we didn't talk about it. Your boy Ian is in The Hobbit. He plays one of Luke Evans's, Bard's sons. And I noticed it. I said, holy smokes, it's Wee Ian. And there he is.
But that means that he was in a scene with Graham McTavish.
Yes.
How cute.
That is so cute.
I love it.
They talk about Gaelis a lot in this chapter.
And the witches and
the whole thing. How do you feel they handled Gaelis in Outlander? Like
in the show?
Like, what do you remember of her in the show? And
I think they did an excellent job. I think Lottie was dynamite in that role and just really brought the creepiness level of Gaelis to life.
Yes.
I think Galus is an extraordinary fun character, and how she comes back, it's just really great. I'm down with Galus. And I do, I think it's interesting to know how much of Scotland has this supernatural, superstitious lore, and yet the amount of people that killed in these witch trials, no joke.
Lots of witches.
Once again, we live, what, an hour from Salem?
Yep.
Salem, Massachusetts. So, you know, witch stuff, big deal here too. It's so sad,
right,
to know what happened to these people.
They say, let's see. Galus, along with Claire, now Fraser, having married Jamie as well, are accused of witchcraft. Scotland proved to be an especially enthusiastic prosecutor of witches. From 1563 to 1735, a little under 4,000 witches, in quotes, were brought to trial, of which it is estimated that around two-thirds were executed. This is 4 to 5 times more than in England. And in 1563, the first Witchcraft Act basically allowed the hunting, torturing, and execution of witches on a grand scale.
Can you just imagine? Oh,
wow.
I don't like you. Bye.
Yeah, no, no. For a state with a religious point to make, prosecuting witches was an excellent way to prove its godliness. Some interesting statistics emerge. Half the victims were under 40 years old. Most were middle class, and only 4% practiced folk medicine, 15% of which were men. Wow, man. And then Janet Horne was the last person,
mm-hmm.
and that
they
to be
that
executed.
Stone.
And her daughter was had deformities.
Had deformities.
And she was going senile. And they were like, yeah, sure. You know, we're just going to burn you now.
And your kid, but then the kid escaped.
Right, right.
Good for her. That would be a story worth telling.
So, yeah. And then Graham talks about The Wicker Man also.
I never saw it.
You never saw The Wicker Man?
No.
A genuinely good film. Genuinely good.
Sounds like I wouldn't like it.
You would not like it.
Yeah. So why are you surprised that I didn't watch it?
Well, because it's one of those things that I think, like, if... Well, yeah, you have that... You weren't raised that same way. I was raised with sisters that watched those kind of films.
My parents made me watch PBS Kids after school until I was 16.
So, you know, I was watching Hellraiser when I was 8 years old, you know.
No,
and my
not
dad,
allowed.
My dad, again.
I still never watched that. I don't watch any of those things.
The famous story, the famous story. My dad took me to go see Goodfellas when I was 7 to the theater. Goodfellas, like... What? You're bringing your 7-year-old to see Robert De Niro killing people. What are we talking about? So, yeah, that's a true story. But, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all I got. Anything else you want to talk about
I'm just really loving... I'm loving my time with these guys.
Oh, I did love when... Graham says, I was naked on stage in 1999 performing The School of Night at the Chichester Festival Theater directed by the actor Jack Shepherd. Cut to my parents... coming to see the show. I briefed them on the nudity, but apparently nothing can fully prepare a Glaswegian father seeing his own grown-up son starkers in front of 500 strangers. After the show, I met them at the bar. You were wonderful, Graham, gushed my staunchly supportive mother. My father looked at me and merely said, there's no need for that, Graham.
Yep.
Oh man,
so
that's good stuff. That is good stuff. I appreciate
good.
That. So yeah, the history though, the why the cairns were built and the mystery of it all, that is fascinating.
Mm.
And how it was used for astrology and it was placed to a certain specific point and turned to so that the moonlight would come in and shine up the whole thing at one particular day.
Imagine like having to document that and figure it out because you only get it one day.
Right.
So they had to like go out and mark it and then double check it next year.
Yeah. And then
tweak it.
Yeah. And then be like, okay, next year we'll be back.
And we'll know for sure
yeah.
that this works.
Right. So it took at least a process of like 5 years.
Imagine
to build,
just
probably.
Doing that in your backyard.
And then like
for fun.
And then you build it and then you're like, okay. Did we get it right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to like double check it before you announce it and show it off to your friends.
But Jimmy missed it by 2 inches. You're like, Jimmy, dude, what are we doing? This is a whole year's worth of work.
He sneezed when he like yeah. drew the line.
So, yeah, I love the whole idea of cairns and why they're there and how
Me
they're
too.
Built and everything. That was really cool. All right, anything else you want to say about this chapter, Marvin?
No, I enjoyed it. Let's keep on going.
You ready to close it out?
Sure am.
Let's close it out. I got something special for
Ooh.
You. Here we go. You ready for this one?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
Yeah. One of the coolest stage production shows. Another thing I miss.
What'd you say?
I said one of the coolest stage production shows.
Lion King. That was fun, yeah.
Just really cool and different.
Yep. You know that Christopher Jackson, the guy who plays George Washington in Hamilton, was in The Lion King?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, it's not like you're a big theater goer.
Well, I'm not like a theater nerd. I enjoy the theater, but like I'm not like...
You're not me.
I'm not into the theater. I'm like, again, I'm not going to go see Graham naked with his nuts hanging out. This is not going to happen.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We're going to keep on pulling away at Clanlands. We are going to be honest with you because of everything that happened last week, with my miscarriage. We've been pretty open about it on social media, but because of the loss of the pregnancy, things just got pushed back a bit. And we are trying our darndest, my friends, to crank out this book in time for Men in Kilts, but I'm just warning you, we may not have it done perfectly in time by the time the show comes, but we promise we are finishing this book and tackling it as quickly as we possibly can.
You know, we're listening to this. It's on YouTube, this song. And there are 791,000 likes on this song. There's also 96,000 dislikes on this song.
Why would you listen to it enough to vote down if you don't like the circle
of
life?
Hold on. Sorry. I'm like, what? Why are you going to this page and hitting dislike on the song? How are there 96,000 people that are out there being
maybe
like, yeah,
the
dude,
Pocahontas
this song
fans.
Sucks?
Because you know that they had Lion King and Pocahontas at the same time. They thought Pocahontas was going to be the big hit.
Right.
And this would just be like the whatever. You know, like, we'll throw that in too.
Like, Pocahontas was the deal.
This was going to be like the Onward, you know?
Yes.
For Pixar. Like, it's good, but we'll throw it in there. It's like a family thing.
Yeah, Onward is one of those movies that I feel like didn't get any love.
It came out right when the pandemic hit.
That's true. That's a good point.
No fault of its own, because it's a great movie.
But I mean, I like the movie. It's no Up. It's no Wall-E.
You know what? It's no Clanlands. All right, lads and lasses. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast and the Circle of Life chapter. Blake.
What? It's part of the song. I don't know.
Licking sounds and stuff. Come on, man. You're crazy.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.